This session is really sponsored by the Society of Surgical Oncology. We've done this for a few years now. And myself, David Bartlett, and the president-elect of the Society of Surgical Oncology, and Jim Howe is the vice president of the Society of Surgical Oncology. And it's really the vice president's job to put together this session. So he's done most of the work here to get these speakers here and these topics together. So I really appreciate it. We will get started quickly here and keep everybody to about 9 minutes. Our first speaker is Dr. Ken Tanabe, who's the Chief of Surgical Oncology at the Mass General.
Thanks, Dave, and thanks, Jim, and thank you for the invitation, the opportunity to speak here. This is my hometown. Terry King will be speaking her hometown as well. We hail from here, so welcome to Boston. It's not hot, I realize that, but the Red Sox are, so that's good. A few disclosures to make, but to get right into it, I think in the question of what to do with nodes, it's important to first talk about MSLT1, in which patients with intermediate thickness melanomas were randomized to either wide excision and mapping or wide excision alone, and the sentinel node negative patients were followed, where those were with positive nodes underwent completion lymphadenectomy, and as you know, that's the topic of MSLT2. But in this study, there were 2,000 patients, and they stratified them to the thinner group as well as the intermediate group and thicker group. The frequency of nodal metastasis across the board was about 20%, and nicely it was balanced between the two arms, the observation arm and the sentinel node biopsy arm. The findings, as you know, sentinel lymph node status was highly prognostic. If one looks at the overall survival for the entire study population, there was no difference, be it in their intermediate thickness or the thicker tumors. However, there was a difference in disease-free survival because patients that were managed with observation of the nodal basin, of course, had a more common relapse in the nodal basin. The survival curve on the left shows that there's absolutely no difference for the study groups as a whole, but perhaps not projecting so well. It is. Okay, on the right side, if you limit the analysis to the node-positive patients with the rationale that those are the only patients who could possibly benefit from this intervention, actually there is a survival benefit in this post hoc analysis for the node-positive patients. And here it is in a different curve showing in the sentinel node positive patients versus the observation node recurrence patients, survival was much better in the sentinel node positive patients. And so we conclude the sentinel lymph node is highly prognostic, and while there's no survival advantage for all randomized patients, if we limit the analysis to the node positive patients with intermediate thickness melanomas, there is a survival advantage. And on the basis of this study, the SSO, ASCO, and others recommend sentinel node biopsy for patients with intermediate thickness melanomas. Moving on to MSLT2, this is for patients with positive sentinel nodes in which they were randomized to go on to completion node dissection, which was the standard of care at that time, or observation. Importantly, nodal ultrasound examination every 4 months. Some of the patients, less than 10%, went on at investigator discretion to go on to adjuvant therapy, and they were followed for survival. And as was reported in the New England Journal of Medicine, this study of 2,000 patients accrued over a decade with a relatively short median follow-up of only 3 years, stratified for those that were PCR-positive nodes versus standard H&E. And again, reinforcing that nodal observation, it is important to point out that ultrasound was part of this. We know now that additional positive non-sentinel nodes is highly prognostic, and if one looks at the 3-year melanoma-specific survival, there was no difference, 86% basically in both groups. And if one looks, these are the survival curves here, no difference, and if one looks at the RT-PCR positive patients, whether they had completion dissection or not, there's no difference. And if one looks at the standard H&E positive patients, whether they went on to node dissection or not, there's no difference in overall survival. This is a table from the paper showing the important prognostic factors. And as expected, Breslow thickness remains significant, as does ulceration. Interestingly, in this study, the number of positive sentinel nodes did not correlate with survival. And so that is a bit peculiar. And then, as one might expect, the presence of positive non-sentinel nodes is prognostic. In this table here, basically all of the lines cross the center here, showing that there is no subgroup here in which completion lymphadenectomy improves survival. So one cannot find a subgroup based on ulceration, number of lymph nodes, the largest lymph node, etc., in which you might say, gee, those patients ought to get a completion lymphadenectomy. Not surprisingly, the lymphadenectomy group had a higher rate of lymphedema, 24%, compared to the node observation group of 6.3%. So the take-home of MSLT2 is that completion lymphadenectomy led to fewer nodal recurrences, no improved survival, certainly better staging by detection of positive non-sentinel nodes at the cost of increased lymphedema. It is, again, important to emphasize that node observation is not just physical examination, and it's not CT scans. In this study, it was ultrasound, which is highly sensitive for early signs of nodal metastasis. I do want to point out that going back to MSLT1, if one looks at the lymphedema rate in patients that underwent a sentinel node biopsy directed elective dissection versus having to undergo a dissection for a relapse in the nodal basin, the incidence of lymphedema was significantly higher for a delayed completion lymph node dissection. So that is an important counterbalance to this. In thinking about MSLT2, there are a few unexplained observations. So I didn't show you the data, but in the there is an increased frequency of node metastasis in the observation arm. We didn't see that in MSLT1, but it is present in MSLT2. It's unclear why the number of positive sentinel nodes no longer has prognostic significance in this study. And also, RT-PCR positivity really had a minimal impact on survival, which is not something seen in other studies. The MSLT2 study was also performed in Europe in the DCOG SLT trial, 1,200 patients. And in this particular study, the three-year distant disease-free survival, there was no difference between completion lymphadenectomy and observation, and similarly, three-year overall survival, no difference. The study was closed early because it was underpowered to meet the endpoints of the study based on slow accrual. And also the prognosis of the sentinel node positive patients ended up being better than expected. But without going into details, you can look at these various curves and see that they are totally superimposable, no benefit to completion lymphadenectomy. Is completion lymphadenectomy necessary for adjuvant therapy? That's an interesting question. You know, we've had the benefit of seeing all of these positive adjuvant therapy trials for stage 3 melanoma now, so ipilimumab versus placebo. But it is important to look in the methods section where complete regional lymphadenectomy was required within 12 weeks before randomization. If one looks at the Nivo versus Ipi study, and it's on the basis of this study that we use nivolumab for adjuvant therapy for stage 3 melanoma, same thing, complete regional lymphadenectomy or resection was required within 12 weeks before randomization. And same thing. So for BRAF mutant melanoma, we know that dabrafenib, trametinib, RAF-MEK inhibition is an effective adjuvant therapy. All patients had regional lymphadenectomy. So the efficacy of adjuvant therapy without completion lymph node dissection in stage 3 melanoma technically is unknown. As the last couple of points, I want to call attention to a New England Journal of Medicine case vignette that was published on January 4th. This is a 52-year-old woman with a right arm, 1.7 millimeter thickness melanoma treated with excision and sentinel node biopsy, and 2 out of 2 sentinel nodes were positive for melanoma. One of the metastases measured 2 millimeters, and the other measured 0.5 millimeters. And the question posed in this vignette was, for this patient, would you do a completion lymphadenectomy or observation with ultrasound? And just by show of hands in the audience here, for this particular patient, how many would choose observation with ultrasound? Just to be clear, to see who's awake, how many then would choose completion lymphadenectomy?
Okay, a majority. So interestingly, there's a poll online, and the New England Journal of Medicine provides the poll results. And as of last week, I guess it was, 56%. So I would say in this room, you can't see everybody. It looks like two-thirds recommended completion lymphadenectomy as opposed to nodal observation. Well, the last point I want to make is for clinically detected lymph node metastasis, a therapeutic lymphadenectomy, there's a definite role for that. However, I'll mention it in my next talk, it may follow neoadjuvant therapy as opposed to being the first maneuver. So to conclude, is there a role for nodal dissection in patients with melanoma? In my humble opinion, yes, in patients for which it's necessary for clinical trial entry. That's pretty rare. Yes, for sentinel node positive patients in whom careful surveillance is not possible. Yes, for clinically positive nodes. And no, for all other patients. End, Mr. Chairman.
I think we are on time. Yep.